Well, this morning I want to direct our attention. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 5. This has been on my heart for some time, that we are people of the Spirit. That's truly what it means to be Pentecostal. For a lot of people you say Pentecostal. Now, I don't know that it's so much true as it was in the early days when I came to know the Lord in an Assembly of God church in Newton, and the Lord called me into ministry. But Pentecostalism used to be kind of known as the wild and crazy people that would, jump the pews, and they called us holy rollers because people would get, we use the expression slain in the Spirit, which for a lot of people, the Spirit killed you? Well, no, it just means that the Spirit came upon you so heavy that it just, you kind of fell over. And amazing thing, I've never seen anybody hurt that way. It's just one of those amazing things. But it, where we were kind of known as people who responded to the Spirit of God moving among us, and I've been in a few Jericho marches. How many have been in a Jericho march? Yeah. And those are all things that are neat as part of our heritage. We don't see them quite as often, at least not here in America anymore. And I don't think it's God's changed, but I don't know, maybe we've gotten a little bit more dignified. I don't know. But the point is this, is being Pentecostal is more than just about speaking in tongues or reacting wildly to God moving among us. I don't know if that's even the right way to say it, but that's what people used to think of us. It's really about being people of the Spirit, understanding that the Spirit of God is at work every day in our lives, or wants to be, desires to be, and that for us at times, again, to me, this is kind of going back to a basic thing for us. We're in a Pentecostal church, and we are to be people of the Spirit who see the fruit of the Spirit active and growing in our lives, and that as we're drawing closer to the Lord and living in step with the Spirit of God, that we will begin to see manifested more the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, read through the book of Acts. I mean, one of the very first stories, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they're on their way to a prayer meeting. And the Spirit interrupts them. And you see the gifts of the Spirit at work in that interaction, that gift of faith. Peter looks at this guy who knows how many times they passed by this fellow who was begging, maybe threw a coin or something in their cup when they had one. But the Spirit stopped them that day and said, there's something more here. And that proclamation that Peter makes, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately his ankle and leg bones were strengthened, and he jumped up and grabbed onto Peter and John as they went into the temple, and he's walking and leaping and praising God. You know, we used to teach that kid that song to the kids in kids' church. They went walking and leaping and praising God, and you'd walk and leap and jump around. Well, I hope we still do that from time to time. But it drew a crowd. As those gifts of the Spirit were manifested, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. And it drew a crowd, and Peter got the chance to preach. Hey, we didn't do anything special, but it's faith in the name of Jesus that this man stands before you whole. And got to tell them about Jesus, and many came to believe in Jesus that day because of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, not in a church setting, but in just everyday life. And that's the thing, is not only do we desire more and more to see the gifts of the Spirit manifested among us, that we see more miracles as we pray, that we see people filled or refilled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that basically saying, God, take my life. Let it be yours. Let your will be done in me. Let your will be done through me. Because I think part of the reason the church is struggling, not just maybe our church, but bigger church world, the kingdom struggles in America, is we've gotten away from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. Now, I'm thankful for all the tools that are out there. But ultimately, what changes lives is the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. As we yield our lives to Him, as the Spirit makes what Jesus did for us real. God, I praise Thee. You amaze me. Jesus, Savior, friend of sinners. And that becomes alive, and that faith stirs in our heart. And we say, Jesus, I'm yours. And the Spirit of God comes in us. Then we receive the power of the Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit. And then we go out in His strength and His power, that we do not fight, wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. That's why we must be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be people of the Spirit and what it means to be Pentecostal. Is God gives us a holy boldness. Well, with all that, we're focusing on the fruit of the Spirit because I think the truth is this. Sometimes we're enamored by the power. And if you'll excuse the crude analogy here, we like the Jedi mind tricks sort of aspect of it. I mean, that, you know, hopefully this generation can relate to that. The thought that, oh, I can do, you know, God lets me do weird and neat things. Well, He does, but not in the Jedi mind trick way, but in that the power of God will flow through us to touch the lives of others. But we must take into mind that if we don't do it out of the love of Christ, that the love of Christ compels us, eventually we're going to get there in this series, 1 Corinthians 13, go back and read it. You can have all knowledge, you can have all wisdom, you can speak in the tongues of men, of angels, you can have faith to move mountains, but if you do not have love, it's worth nothing. So that's why we're focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. That it's out of the character of Christ developed in us, the love of Christ that compels us, that the power of God needs to flow and work. Otherwise, we're just glorifying ourselves. I think that's why, how many of you read Matthew 7 and you get to the part where Jesus says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did not we cast out demons and do miracles and all this stuff in your name? And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. God responds to faith. That's the thing that's tricky sometimes. From my viewpoint, God sees it all and understands it. But how many of you know stories, had experiences? I mean, I've had friends in ministry that I looked up to that God worked through them in the power of the Spirit. They laid hands on people and saw sick people healed. They gave messages of knowledge or wisdom to the church. God, the Spirit of God used them because they had faith for God to do that. And then you found out that, oh, well, they've got these hidden sins in their lives. God, how can you use somebody like that when they're not, you know, living the life? Well, God responds to faith. And thankfully, God works in us sometimes even when we're not always in the right place. I think that's one of the ways He says that He loves us and doesn't give up on us. So, Galatians 5, and here we go. Are you ready? Put your seatbelts on. We're taking off here. We're going to focus on love, joy, and peace today. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, one of the points that he's making is this. There's no law. There's no human law. There's no religious law against this kind of character being developed in our lives. And he points this out because most religion, or really all religion, is people trying to do something to appease God or gods so that they will like them or do something good for them or bless them or to avoid punishment. It's man trying to reach out to God. The difference with Christianity is God made the way for us to be restored to right relationship with Him. It's God reaching out to us. There's nothing we offer to God other than our lives. God, you did this for me. I believe it. I believe what Jesus did for me. I accept it by faith. Not my church attendance. Not what I can show God from my checkbook. Not all the good stuff I did to try and curry His favor. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. God made the way for us. And that's the difference. It's God seeking and to save those who are lost. And Paul captures this truth in his letter to the believers in Rome. In Romans 14:7, it says this: the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, following a bunch of rules, jumping through all the hoops, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's God working in our lives to bring about the fruit of His Spirit for us to live as God desires for us to live, in His power, not in our own strength. So as people of the Spirit who have been born into the kingdom of God, we bear the fruit of the Spirit that allows us to reflect the character and nature of Christ to others. It's kind of scary sometimes to think about it, but, and I've heard it said before, and I honestly have struggled with this, but there's some truth to it. You may be the only Bible some people ever read. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, what is Jesus like? Well, I'm going to look at your life. Challenge, isn't it? Thank God we don't do it in our own strength. But we live by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit have been divided into three categories. Fruit that reflects our relationship with God, which is what we're going to focus on today, that love, joy, peace. Probably in 2 weeks we'll be going on the fruit that reflects our relationships with others, patience, kindness, and goodness. Fruit that reflects inner spiritual renewal, or is kind of self-word, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you think about it with what the rest of the scripture says about our love for God and love for others is joined together and all that. The fruit of the Spirit reflects our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our own inner lives. So, here we go, love. Love here refers to agape or divine love. It's God's kind of love that the Spirit of God builds up within us. And in this sense, it's the truth of love is not a feeling, but it's a choice that seeks the welfare of others. It's when we act for the benefit of others self-sacrificingly that we reflect the love of God. See, God showed us what love is and does by what He did in sending Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. We turn to 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. It says this: dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us. Love is more than just that ooh gooey feeling, you know. For those who are married, maybe don't raise a hand here, but maybe inwardly raise the hand. You've been in times in your marriage where if somebody were to ask you from a worldly standard of love, do you love your spouse? And you could probably think, no, I'm not sure I would ever say this out loud, but right now, I'm just really ticked at them. I'm not very happy right now. truth. But instead of being mean and acting on that, what do? Instead, you act lovingly. Because you understand that love is more than simply the feelings I have. See, that's the problem with worldly love. Oh, I love him so much. And then they hurry up and get married, and 3 years later, well, I don't love them anymore. Well, that's thinking love is a feeling. But you go back, read again, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love does not keep a record of wrongs, love bears all things, love believes all things, love hopes all things, love never fails. That's not our love, that's God's love. That's that agape love that the Spirit of God builds up in us. It's very practical. We learn to love others as Christ has loved us. Just as Jesus said, we forgive others because we understand Christ forgave us. In Romans 14 and 15, Paul is giving instruction to the church concerning matters of conscience. And what he says here is this, is that the more mature believers will yield their rights so as not to harm the faith of less mature believers. Why do they do that? Because of love. You think, well, if they just understood. Well, sometimes they're not there yet. So you show love to them so that, and I don't know whether it's here in 1 Corinthians, that Paul writing about this same issue, he says, well, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about eating meat sacrificed to idols. To him, meat is meat. It comes from a cow. Or a pig or whatever. Well, he wouldn't have eaten pig, but anyway. But he understood. For some people, if they see you eating meat that's been sacrificed to an idol, then you're fellowshipping, you're worshiping that idol, and that's idol worship, and they're saying, how can they do that? They're a believer in Jesus. And it ruins their conscience, and he says, that would you destroy the faith of someone for whom Christ died? The ultimate expression of love. Jesus loved us so much, he died for us. So if that means that I have to give up my Big Mac so as not to offend your faith, Paul says, I'll quit eating meat. I'll give up my Big Mac. Why? Because that's what love dictates. Because that's how much God loved us. I don't think there'll be Big Macs in heaven. I don't know that. I know there's a wedding supper of the Lamb. I'm not sure what he's going to be serving. I just know I want to be there. Amen. See, this thing of giving up our rights, that's totally opposite of what the world teaches us. I won't do this if it offends a brother or sister in Jesus and possibly destroys their faith because I love them that much with the love that Jesus has put into my heart. And that's not easy, folks. That's not Christianity 101. We have to learn to live that way as the Spirit of God works in our heart. See, Philippians 2 speaks much to this same thing and again points us to Jesus as our example. Philippians 2 verses 3 through 5, there's more there, but I'm wanting to focus on these verses. Begin at verse 3, it says, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And he goes on from there to talk about how Jesus humbled himself and gave his life and was obedient even to the death of the cross. See, God's not asking us to do something he's not already done. That's love. That's a powerful thing. Because Jesus said it's that kind of love that when people look at us, they'll know we are Christians. We're talking about that song. I think Ray and I were talking about that song a while back. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. That kind of a love speaks to people and draws people. You can go anywhere and get at each other. may that he never see that when we come to the house of God, that we bear with one another, we love one another, we encourage one another, we look out for the interests of one another. Joy. Joy has been described as a constant delight in God. And I kind of like that definition. It's not a joy in our circumstances or maybe what we're walking through, but there's a constant delight in God. Why? Because we're people of the Spirit. We know God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll supply every need according to our riches and according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That when we seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to us. So we have a joy. The Apostle Peter wrote this in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. I don't know why God loved me, but I'm glad he did. And I've never seen him in the flesh. But I believe he's real because of how he's changed my life. And that brings in an inexpressible, glorious joy into my life. I know he loves me. I know he's a part of my life. That whatever may come my way, I don't have to face it alone. He's going to walk through it with me. It always amazes me, those saints, and I think, Lord, I hope I never have to walk through this to discover this. But have you ever known somebody that's maybe even facing a terminal illness and you go to visit them thinking, well, I'm going to try and encourage them. And they're just so full of the joy of God, and they're sick, they're in pain, that the doctors are saying, you're almost done for this world. And, you know, we're bummed out by that. And then you go to visit them and they're just praising God and, oh, God's been so good to me and, oh, I love him so much. I can't wait till God decides it's time he's done with me here and I get to go see him face to face. And you walk out of there thinking, wow, I went to encourage them and they've encouraged me because of the joy they had in their heart. The joy of the Lord was their strength. That joy of the Lord is based on our spiritual, eternal circumstances. As we cling tight to Jesus, daily abiding in our relationship with him, we experience the fullness of joy that he promised. Jesus in John 15, as he's trying to encourage the disciples, knowing he's about ready to go to the cross and helping to try to prepare them for what is to come. He says this, John 15, verses 10 and 11. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Why? Because we've learned we can trust what Jesus says. When we do what he says, there's just that inner peace, that. And I notice a lot of this love, joy, peace stuff kind of flows, you know, chases itself. I don't know a better way to say it. But it's why that we can have joy even in the midst of trials. Now, we're not happy about our circumstances, but we know can have that joy, which is that constant delight in God, because we know that God is working in us and through us through those circumstances. You read in James, and this has bothered a lot of people. How can James say this? Chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Huh? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I don't like the trial I'm going through, but I know God is working in me and through me in these circumstances. I'm going to learn to trust him more. I'm going to be able to have opportunity to give glory to God. Oh, I was here, and look what God did to bring me through this. Or for some of us, we have those testimonies of healing. We talked about this a little bit in the adult Sunday school class this morning. Encourage you to come out, 9 o'clock. Get up a little earlier. We always have coffee. I don't know if there's anything. Sometimes we have other goodies, but always coffee. Thank you, Ray and Linda, for that. understand. God is at work in our lives. Verse 12 of James 1 says this, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Jesus, I love you. I don't understand why I'm having to walk through here. But, you know, we've had our share of trials. And it's amazing sometimes that the people that God brings across our path because of what we're walking through that we would probably never have met and had a chance to minister to if it wasn't for the trials that we've endured. Now, my first choice would have been, no, Jesus, I don't want to go there. But then it's like, okay, Lord, your will be done in my life. And then find out he's working through those circumstances. You like those stories in the Bible? Joseph, perfect example. I'm sure his plan for his career path was not be sold as a slave into Egypt, falsely accused, spend time in prison. But he kept serving the Lord and was faithful to God. And in the end, God put it, he was where he needed to be. God needed him to be so God could use him for the saving of many lives. Which brings us to the last fruit here, peace. Romans 5, 1 and 2, I think, describe this so well. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand as friends of God. That's my addition in there. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That peace that comes from knowing I'm right with God. I can say I am a friend of God because he calls me friend. By faith, I've accepted what he's done for me through the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus because Jesus was obedient. All the blessings of God are mine. I can become a child of God. I can become a friend of God. And that peace, that assurance, that rest that comes from knowing whose you are. Now, that's a weird way to say it, but you know, reading through Acts, Paul's on a ship, they've been buffeted, about 2 weeks, a terrible storm, and they've thrown everything overboard to lighten the ship, and Paul gets up and says, hey guys, the God whose I am and whom I serve, God, I belong to him, I serve him. He came and told me, guess what, it's going to be okay. Everybody on board is going to make it. We're going to live through this storm. Whose I am and whom I serve. That's the peace that comes. I think that's why, and honestly, right now they're asking us to pray for Christians in China. Olympics are supposed to begin there. If you follow any Christian news at all, you know, there are just so many places on this earth where our brothers and sisters, they're going through it in ways that we couldn't imagine. How do they do it? I think because they have that peace with God. You know, I've had that fun experience, not because of my faith, but because I was working at the hotel as the night clerk when the hotel was robbed. And I've had know what it's like to have a gun stuck in your ear. And this is not a brag on me. No. This is all God. But my very first thought was, if he pulls that trigger, the thing I'm going to miss is not seeing my kids grow up, getting to grow old with my wife. There was no fear there. Just a sadness of, if he pulls that trigger, I get to go home and be with Jesus, but I got to leave my family here. Again, no brag on me. That was the peace of God rising up in my heart. And honestly, after it was all done, I got mad not so much that I'd been robbed, but the thought of I had a gun stuck in my ear for a couple hundred bucks. And with God's help, if anybody ever points a gun at me again, they're going to shoot me because I'm going to start proclaiming the gospel to them. Hey, you can come and do whatever you want to me. This is just the shell. You kill this body, you're sending me home to be with Jesus, but you need to hear about Jesus. I'm not going to die for a couple hundred bucks. I'm going to die because I'm standing for my faith and proclaiming my faith in Jesus Christ. That's what made me mad or angry. I did get angry at that. Hopefully it was a righteous thing. But that peace that comes from knowing Jesus, knowing he's at work. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light." People are looking for peace in so many different places. It's found in Jesus. Come to him. Cast your burdens upon him. Follow him. Peace comes as we realize we are God's and he will take care of us. Again, the Apostle Paul, practical instruction in his letter to the Philippians. I know we talk about this verse a lot when we're talking about prayer, but notice the focus on peace here. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." What's going on in your life? Make God a part of it. Talk to him about it. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. If you've ever had to try to explain to somebody, "Oh, what's going on in your life? How come you seem to be joyful and happy, and how do you deal with this?" I've given it to Jesus. It exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Love, joy, peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it means to be people of the Spirit, that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're in right relationship with God. We understand God is at work in our lives. Hallelujah. Well, for those of us who have said yes to Jesus, may we just ask God, kind of like that song we sang, "All I want is more of you. Lord, fill me up and make me yours. Work in my life so that my will is to do your will." And keep doing this, practicing that love, experiencing that joy, and experiencing that peace. But if you are under the sound of my voice this morning and you haven't entered into that relationship with the Lord, let me encourage you to do so. I mean, you're not going to give your life to Jesus and then everything's going to become perfect. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is you can have a love, joy, peace, and these other things, because when you invite Jesus into your life, he's going to walk with you every step of the way. He's going to help you. He's going to grow you. And you're going to have that confidence that, hey, when the day comes, I get to go home and be with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you this day and are just so grateful for what you've done for us. And Lord, those of us who know you, may we just take a moment to praise you and thank you. What an amazing thing you've done in our lives. We who were once dead in sin are now children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We can call you friend because you let us know what you're doing. You walk with us through the good times and the bad times in our lives. Lord, you supply everything that we need. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it to good. And we have that promise that the day will come when we get to see you face to face. Hallelujah. But Lord, if there would be one this morning under the sound of my voice that has not yet said yes to you, may this be that day. Lord, as we're getting ready to sing the song about knowing you, may they just whisper that prayer to you. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a child of God. And then this will be a day they can rejoice that they were born again of the Spirit, that they've become your follower, and that, Lord, we get to walk along beside them even as you do. Help them learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just let the Spirit speak to you as we worship with this song in closing this morning. Just to know you more, to have you working in our lives greater than you ever have before. That Spirit of God, we would learn to walk in your way, to follow your leading. And Jesus, we ask that you work through us, that you not only build your character in us, but that you work through us, Lord Jesus. So this week, we're praying that, God, you would have those divine appointments for us. Maybe somebody we're coming across, not even necessarily thinking about it, but that you quicken our hearts by your Spirit. And we get to say to them, silver and gold, I don't have, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you minister to those needs. Lord, go with us, I do pray, and I thank you for that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Just ask that if you surrendered your life to Jesus this morning, please let us know. You can fill out one of the connection cards and just make a note on that. If you're watching online, send a message, make a call to the church, because we want to walk with you as you follow Jesus and serve him. God bless you.